And that is the sound of the marimba, a keyboard instrument with a, well, a magical woody tone that is played with mallets, sometimes two, sometimes four, and occasionally more than four mallets. The resonant sound is produced by rosewood, a hardwood that is placed over resonators to amplify the sound. The marimba, an instrument that I've had a love affair with for over four decades, and one that is being featured in Grand Forks and Minot in concerts by not one, but four highly talented marimbists. The Heartland Marimba Quartet, consisting of Matthew Coley, Ujjal Adhitarya, Michael Jones, and Joe Millay. They'll be presenting concerts in Grand Forks and Minot in September, and it is my pleasure to be talking with marimbist Matthew Coley. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me. And good. A great choice at the beginning there. Good to hear Nancy Zeltzman.
Oh, you know, you know your repertoire. Yeah. That's
oh,
great.
Yeah.
The marimba, a truly beautiful sound that is both engaging and, dare I say, mystical. What attracted you to the marimba?
Well, I think you said it there. The mysterious, mystical, alluring sound of the rosewood that comes from Central America, quite unlike any other musical instrument. And then for me, it was also the physicality of playing the instrument and watching the performer alongside of this amazing sound that was coming off of it was my draw back, I guess, now 30 years ago.
You know, it's an instrument that once you get through the acquiring the basic technique, it's really an instrument, as with many other musical instruments, that the performer becomes one with the instrument. And perhaps that's due to the mallets and the physicality of playing. But I always felt like playing a marimba was never work or hard practicing, you know, so to say. How do you feel about when you perform? What goes on in your head and the physical relationship between you and the marimba?
Yes. It's still sort of a therapeutic moment for me during the week if I just need, you know, in addition to the practice that I have to do and the music that I am scheduled to prepare, if I need a moment just to escape, I'll just go down and play the marimba and take some time to play some old tunes and really, like you're saying, just kind of engross myself in the physicality. But as far as performing, I think, there is quite a bit of preparation mentally that goes into performing on the instrument. We do a lot of our music memorized because we're not touching the instrument physically. We're using mallets to create the sound along with our motions. And coming at the same maybe chord on the instrument can be different in every piece. So if you play a C major chord in one piece, it's going to feel very different to the other piece. So I'm always calculating and noticing these small changes and shifts, but also really much enjoying that physical labyrinth that you go through when playing the instrument.
And, we've used the term mallets for our listeners that may not be familiar with the marimba. Uh-huh. Some people call them hammers, but they consist of rubber and various types of yarn. How much care goes into selecting the right kind of yarn mallets or rubber mallets for the music, because you've got plenty of choices?
Oh, yes. So, if we're thinking about the marimba quartet, we're coming on stage or we're performing usually with four mallets each, so 16 different mallets within a piece of music. And then we each own thousands of mallets. And that is a big portion of our rehearsal together is choosing that sound within each player, which mallet works best for the tenor voice, which mallet works best for the alto player in the ensemble. And it's all very different. I typically play the highest the highest voice, so I'm using the harder mallets. And do I want it to be a hard and bright sound? Do I want to blend a little more? Do I need to roll a lot, tremolo a lot? So there's quite a bit of care going into this, and we're always hoarding as many mallets as we can, from rubber to yarn to cord wound.
I remember in the days when Lee Howard Stevens was coming up as a musician, and the first time I saw him, Lee would walk on stage with literally 60 mallets in his bag, just a huge bag. And I remember being so impressed with that. But the yarn mallets were all white, and I remember wondering how he made those quick mallet changes. Because I use different colors of mallets to depict my sound. If you just tuned in, I am talking with Matthew Coley, a marimbist who's a member of the Heartland Marimba Quartet. They will be touring North Dakota and the Upper Midwest in September. This date was changed, as all musical dates were changed around the country due to the coronavirus situation, but looking forward to that. They will be performing with the Minot Symphony Orchestra and on the campus of the University of North Dakota. Now, a marimba is not a small instrument. The Heartland Marimba Quartet, I would assume, tours with four marimbas. Would that be correct?
We do. Yeah. We have a trailer.
That's a lot of packing up and unpacking, and that's a lot of weight.
Yes, so we recently acquired two more instruments. We used to travel, I had two 5-octave instruments, which each one is about 8 feet long. And then we would either arrange other ones or borrow ones, or another player would drive one to the kind of central place where we were touring or rehearsing. But now the organization has four instruments, and we have a trailer, and we have 36 or so different cases to pack them in.
With a percussionist, it's always going to be, it's never easy, is it? Like a flautist.
Oh, no, it's a lifestyle.
If it's not a marimba, it's timpani, it's a drum set or something. It's always six trips to the car, as I say. In the early days, marimba ensembles and marimba players had to rely on transcriptions of music. But that has changed as more composers realize the potential of the instrument as a solo instrument. How do you, the Heartland Marimba Quartet, approach the selection of music?
So when I started the group in 2016, I looked at the repertoire and I thought a lot about this because, you know, even from my days in school, I was in undergrad in the late 90s and early 2000s for graduate work. My teachers were encouraging me to compose, and all of my teachers were composers, Michael Burrett, Mark Ford, Christopher Dean. And so I did a lot of writing myself and a lot of arranging. And when I started the ensemble, I looked at the music that was really influential for me. I wanted to do a mix of some transcriptions, so I set out to find those unique ones, since there are kind of those stock transcriptions the percussion world uses. I wanted to find some newer ones, and then we chose music that would either be familiar within the percussion world or captivating to a general audience. But there's a fair amount to choose from compared to the string quartet. There's very little music. We're in the infant stage of marimba quartet. But for percussion world, there's been a surge in the last 20 years, and it was great to kind of start exploring as much of that as we could. So we mixed it up. We did some music by Michael Burrett. We got some pieces commissioned for us. So we really think a lot about repertoire, and now we're actually on the path to commissioning as many female composers as we can, because that was one area where we found there actually really wasn't any marimba quartet music by women composers, unfortunately. So we are on a mission to get that changed.
Now, over the years, as I have watched audiences watch marimbists, I've always found audiences to be deeply engaged, whether they're familiar with the instrument or not, because the performers are very animated. You know, you can't say the same thing about a brass quintet or a string quartet who have a limited sense of motion in contrast. But a marimba is 6-7 feet long, so each of the players is walking to the left or the right, and there's a lot of manipulation of the arms and the body. Audiences seem to love watching players maneuver around the instrument, showcasing dexterous technique. Have you noticed that in your audiences?
Yes, we, you know, that is a core component of, you know, marketing our group. We not only want to go into these communities, and we travel to communities of all sizes, really, really small towns in the Midwest, farm towns, to, you know, big city concerts. And some of our favorite performances are these smaller communities where people just, you know, they just rush the stage and say, oh, it was so great to listen to, and it was wonderful to watch you guys moving. And, you know, that's really fortunate for us, because I was telling another interviewer for our February tour for the Chicago Tribune paper that, you know, we're always trying to prove ourselves for people to keep us around in the classical music world. And so every concert is kind of an audition, and because it's such a young ensemble compared to other instruments. So fortunately, the movement part of it works on our side, and we think a lot about that, and we discuss, you know, some ways that we can communicate more through the movement.
On a typical concert, following a typical concert, how many people come backstage and want to see and touch and look at the instrument?
Oh, yeah. we usually will invite, so, you know, we just did a tour in the Midwest in February. We did two concerts in Des Moines with a dance company there, two dance companies, actually, Hurley and Dancers and Dance Arts in Des Moines. And then we went from Des Moines to Rochester in Minnesota to play at a church on a series. And we always invite the audiences, especially in smaller venues like that, where it's 200 audience members or so, and it's a small community, small venue. You know, we usually do a Q&A, and then we'll just invite people, and we'll get, 30, 35 people up there, and they'll just have wonderful questions, and they'll want to see things up close and maybe watch us play up close. And sometimes we'll let children do a little hands-on, try it out for themselves.
It's an absolutely beautiful instrument, isn't it? With the rosewood bars, the sheen of the wood, and the resonators all in a long frame. It's a stunningly beautiful instrument.
It is. And, you know, the aesthetics and the design of it in the present day with these instruments has really gone to some special level. And you can just kind of look and behold this proportioned, it's really well proportioned instrument with the resonators and the bars and the trapezoidal shape. Really kind of stretched out trapezoid.
Now, the Heartland Marimba Quartet will be touring Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. It is a very animated instrument to perform on, and of course, it takes a long time to set up and tear down. How do you set up your tour skid? Do you plan a performance every 2 days or so? Is it possible for you to pack in every day with traveling? How do you approach that?
Yes. You know, I think a lot about this all the time because I'm doing most of the booking for the group. And, you know, so it's a little bit, a portion of it is skill and strategy. And a portion of it is some kind of sorcery and luck. And it just kind of sometimes falls into place. But usually we start with sort of a larger gig, what we'll call an anchor gig, or two, where, you know, an organization such as the Minot Symphony will hire us to do a premiere, and then they happen to be affiliated with the Minot State University. So the teacher, the percussion teacher there, wanted us around for a day of percussion since we're already in the area. So we created a pretty large residency in the city of Minot. And then from there, like this tour that I planned in April and May, we were heading back down to Dubuque, Iowa, to do another concerto with the Dubuque Symphony. And it was that's where I was talking about the sorcery came into play, and the universe was smiling on us. Those two fell together in the same area of the calendar, and so we could make a tour out of it. And then we fill in the in-between points where, you know, okay, we're driving from Madison, Wisconsin to Minot. That takes about 9 hours. We should allow 2 days, and maybe on the first day we'll stop halfway, and then that's how we booked the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. So that was kind of an in-between gig. So we'll fill in those days with traveling or a day off or sightseeing or another gig, maybe at a high school or another concert series, whatever we can convince people to hire us for.
Well, there's no shortage of appreciation for those towns that have universities with good percussion programs, that have percussion majors that volunteer to help you move your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's always appreciative to have somebody else carry those cases out. Matthew Coley of the Heartland Marimba Quartet. If you have never seen a marimba performance or a marimba quartet performance, let me strongly urge you to enjoy the Heartland Marimba Quartet. It is magical music, and it is very interesting to watch the, if I may say, choreography of the marimba players as they play through their repertoire. Matthew, great talking with you, and good luck on the tour. I really can't wait to hear you guys.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. And just wanted to say we have a new album out there. It's called Vision by the Heartland Marimba Quartet. If you're interested in hearing a collection of our repertoire from the last couple seasons. But yeah, it's been really nice talking to you, and we look forward to our visit to North Dakota in September.
And send me a copy of the CD. I'll be glad to program it.
I will. I'd love to. I'll get that right out.
Matthew Coley, the Heartland Marimba Quartet. This was Scott Prebis for Main Street.